Good morning. You know, as I was sitting up here watching some of you come in, some of you came in very tentatively, and I was struck by the fact that we're all in this chapel together, so if lightning strikes you, the chances are it's going to strike all of us as well. So in that sense, okay, some of you got it. Okay, all right, that's good. All right, good. So keep that in mind that we worship together. So what happens to one happens to all of us. So keep that in mind. Please turn with me in your red hymnals to number 549, and we'll sing the doxology together. 549 in the red hymnal. Hymn number 687. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 431, Open My Eyes That I May See. 431. Open my eyes that I may see. Go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we come before you just the way we are this morning. Lord, many of us have struggled this week over various challenges that we've had, concerns that we just didn't know what to do with. Lord, we just bring those things before you right now. And God, we are not selfish in our prayers because we also think of others as well, our family members and our friends, patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is here today, the family members that will be visiting. But also, God, we call to mind the different things that we have seen in the news, different situations that have been so very difficult for us to understand, the violence that we have seen, the turmoil that we have seen, the injustice that we have seen, the hate that we have seen. And God, we lift up those circumstances to you as well. We lift up those that have been hurt. We lift up those that are in pain. We lift up those that are asking those difficult questions about those circumstances that have occurred in their lives. And Lord, we just lay all these things before you. For God, we know that you do hear our prayers. Lord, we know that you do intervene in many ways in our lives, but yet we don't see it. And God, I would ask that you would open our eyes more and more to your will working in our lives. And God, we are so thankful that you have brought us all here together to worship you. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn this morning is number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Thank you. scripture this morning is Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have blessed us already by the time of worship that we have had, and also about the things that have challenged us already so that we can know ourselves better and know you better and relate to each other in a better relationship. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to help me in that act of worship. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I don't know how many of you are on social media, but I am. And every once in a while, you find something that is always interesting about different things that are taking place in the world, and people are always making comments about various things. But there was one thing this week that was posted by a friend of mine, and he asked all of his friends that was on the social media page with him if they would describe what their faith was in one word. I'll just give you just 10 of them, and these are not necessarily the top 10. So think about it. If somebody asked, well, I'm asking you the question this morning, if you would describe your faith in one word, what would that word be? So here are some of the responses. Unfailing, communion, Christ, uncompromising, unmerited, alive, gift, sustaining, everything, relationship. So I'm going to put some of you on the spot. What was one word that you thought of?
Direction.
Direction. Hey, you go to the front row, which you're already in the front row.
Recovery.
Very good. One more.
Granted.
All right. Hey. Direction, recovery, granted. I like that. I can even preach a sermon on that. That'll work. And, you know, and what's interesting is as people responded, of course, you know, they didn't follow directions because people did more than one word. And I'm like, well, I don't know what. It clearly says one word. You got one word, right, to describe your faith. And for a lot of people, that is difficult to describe what their faith in God is in one word. And if you want to know what my answer was communion. So that should be no big surprise there, right? But communion was my one word of faith. And it is a challenge for us to be concise, to break it down into one element in terms of what we believe in. Break it down into that one word in terms of what faith means to us. And that is a challenge. Because we see all the different things that take place in our lives, many of the situations complicated, involving a variety of people doing things that are outside of our control, and all of those kind of things that we find just very frustrating. But you know, what's interesting is the psalm that we have read this morning reminds us that God has made everything. And that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to grasp that God has made everything. And so one word in response to that statement that I just made in terms of what faith is, could be just that one word, everything. God, you have created everything. You have created the universe. You've created the cosmos. You've created me. Now, why God created me, to be honest with you, I have no idea. Because I share with you one thing in common. As my soul struggles and as my soul is troubled by the different things that I do in my life, my actions that I am responsible for, I am always humbled by the fact that God is everything. And that God took the time to create me. It's difficult for us to understand that, isn't it? But you know, it is important to understand because our reference point in terms of how we understand God represents everything that we do and say in our lives. A couple of days ago, I was, as we say, going up the hill to Flagstaff. And if you've been on 17 going north, you know that there's a couple of areas where you have a steep incline. People drive pretty crazy because you got trucks that are slowing down and people are trying to go as fast as they can. And as we were going up the incline, I was passing this one vehicle and there was another vehicle right behind me, probably no more than 2 car lengths behind me. And as I was going up, passing the vehicle to my right, I looked in the rearview mirror and a car got in between me and the vehicle that was two car lengths behind me. So you get the picture there? And needless to say, the person was driving recklessly. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get incensed and I call those people the bullies that drive on the road. And every once in a while, occasionally, not very often, a bully gets my sign of indignation. Do you know what my sign of indignation is? Yeah. All right. Some of you got the sign. All right. and this person got my sign of indignation because not only was he putting myself in jeopardy and Lynn, who was traveling with me, but the car that I was passing to the side of me and the car that was behind me 2 car lengths. And, of course, themselves. And needless to say, he responded with his indignation about my sign of indignation given to him. And Lynn remarked that she was even surprised that he was looking in the rearview mirror because he saw my indignation. But I made no doubt of my hand signal. I made sure that it was properly in place in the windshield that was in front of me so it could not be mistaken. I felt bad about that. I did. I truly did. And Lynn could tell that I felt bad because what happened? I lost control. Understand? And I did feel bad, even though I was trying to justify it in my mind and all those things that we try to do. It was not the right thing to do. It definitely was the wrong Christian response. And as I was thinking about my sermon, I thought, well, this would be a good example to share, not necessarily about myself, not a good example about myself. But the fact is that every once in a while we do things in our lives, say things in our lives that we regret saying. But somehow they just come out instantaneously, right? And you're like, what happened there? And as I evaluated it, it was an issue about safety, yes it was, and I felt that I had the right to do something because of the violation of safety. But yet, from my point of view as a follower of Jesus Christ, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have extended that earthly sign of indignation. Maybe I should have extended to him the one-way sign of spiritual grace and mercy and forgiveness. But as I share that with you, it's there to remind us that we all struggle with different issues. Our souls struggle every night. In fact, there's a song that specifically talks about forgiveness and all that we do and all that we say in terms of allowing forgiveness to be a part of our lives. And that when we go to bed at night, as the song continues to talk about the fact that We evaluate our lives before we close our eyes, do we not? We evaluate the things that we've done right. More so, we probably evaluate the things that we did wrong and did not get it right. And then we struggle with the whole idea of forgiveness. But if we know by an act of faith that God is everything in our lives, and the psalm that we have read talks about the fact that God has created everything in our lives, it should give us that perspective in which we say, God, even though I don't understand why you made me, I am thankful that you did, and because of that, I know that you forgive me of all of those different things that took place in my life today in which I lost control, was angry, I felt that I had a right to something in which I had no right. I did not reflect what I believe in truly in terms of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And would you forgive me and give me that grace that I need to have right now? And I found myself doing that last night, thinking about reviewing the day and all the different things that took place. And I found myself going to sleep after I embraced God's love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Because God has created everything. He has created you and He has created me. And in our worldview, as they say, we need to understand that. And yes, there are all kinds of questions that we can ask God about why things are happening the way they are, why there seems to be victims, why there seems to be these tragedies, why there seems to be this violence. And if there is a loving and caring God, how are you permitting all of these things to take place? Every single one of us has asked that question of God. Maybe you didn't put it into words, maybe you didn't write it down, but you had a conscious thought, a spiritual thought about God. If you are the creator of everything, how do you permit this? How do you allow this? And we don't have to look very far, because even our own lives are examples of those things that people have done to us, and also examples of what we have done to others. But yet God reminds us again and again that God forgives us. And we've talked about forgiveness on a regular basis because it's so important for us to embrace. And if God has created everything, I want to assure you that God can take on those tough questions. God can deal with our frustration. God can deal with our anger. Because God is God. And even though it's beyond my scope of understanding or knowledge, I know that God loves me even though I make mistakes. Even when my soul is filled troubling about all the different things that I see, and I cannot seem to do enough. But yet there's also a song when we call out to God, reminding us that God has created us to be His ambassadors to the world. And so we have a responsibility to make a difference in other people's lives. Because when we cry out to God about all the things that we see that are wrong with the world and the victims that we see, the violence that we see take place, God does remind us that I have created a solution to this problem. I have created you because I have created everything. But then we need to ask ourselves an important question. Are we doing our part? If we truly believe that God has created everything, if we truly do believe that we care about the world and all the different injustices that are taking place, God has provided a solution to mankind for all of those problems. His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you and I profess that saving knowledge that we know Christ in our lives, then He has created us as well for us to do something about the things in the world that we believe need to be changed, that we complain about, that we get angry about. And that is a tremendous responsibility. I would rather sit back on the couch and just say, Lord, I paid my taxes this year, so I am doing my part to take care of things that are going on in the world that's outside of my sphere of influence. God, you know that I am a minister for you and that I preach and that I counsel with people and I try to be a good, honest person and I always try to do the right thing as best as I can. Haven't I done enough? And of course, if I'm honest with myself, the answer is no, that I can do more. And so as we believe that God is everything in our faith, that God has created you and me, and we have that tremendous value in the eyes of God, that each and every one of us have the same value, we are equal in value before God, everyone that we see outside in the world, and I'll use that as a pretty embracive term of anyone outside of our chapel here this morning, they are just as equal to us as we are to them in the eyes of God. And therefore, they should be treated as such. But yet, it's not easy for us to do that. But yet we are called to do those things because those of us that understand the relationship that we have with God, those of us that understand that we have a responsibility to each other because of our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, we have to make an effort to change those things in which we can. It's kind of like the Serenity Prayer, right? To know the difference. To change the things that I can and the things that I cannot change. And God calls us every day to do that. And God makes us responsible for our actions. And as I shared that story with you, it was a reminder to me that as God pricked my conscience through the power of His Holy Spirit, it wasn't there for me to feel bad about myself or to feel guilty. It was there so next time, right? Next time I don't do such things, regardless of whether the person knows who I am or not. I mean, I don't have a bumper sticker on my car that says, I am the chaplain at the VA Medical Center on 7th Street and Indian School. But yet my actions should exhibit that fact, right? And I should be ashamed when they do not. Not because I am better than anybody else. Not because I have more righteousness than anybody else. But the fact that we shouldn't treat each other that way. I should have been more understanding because God created that driver, as much as I don't want to admit that. Because God, my faith says that you have created everything and all of creation. And that I should treat your creation with love, with compassion, with understanding, with discernment, in the same way that you have treated me in my relationship with you. Because it is me and you as we walk with God. We have that equality before God in all things. God tells us in this psalm that we are part of all the creation that goes on around us and that we have that responsibility. We have ownership of those things because God has given us all of those things. And any time that you are given anything from God, there's a responsibility that goes with it. It's not a burden. Because I think a lot of times when we think of responsibility, we think of it as a burden. It's not a burden. It's a responsibility that we have. One of you were asking me about my grandchildren. My grandchildren are a responsibility, but they are not a burden to me. They are a joy. In fact, Lynn likes that responsibility more than I think any other responsibility that she has, because they are not a burden. And so God gives us responsibilities. We should not look at them as a burden. We should look upon them with joy. Because if we do that, then what? Is the burden going to be light? Absolutely. Is it going to be fun? Sometimes, not always. But yet, you'll be able to see why you're doing what you're doing, because you have embraced that responsibility. And it's not the big things. It's the little things that we do for each other that acknowledges the responsibility that we share. The fact that you guys come and worship with me here, even though you've heard me preach again and again and again, you still come back for more pain, more agony. And I thank you for that. But that's a responsibility that I share with you. And every time I come here on Sunday mornings, I look forward to it because it is a joy. It is not a burden. And I think about what I say. I think about how I'm going to carry out. I think about the introductory story in terms of how I'm going to lay the foundation of what we're going to be talking about every Sunday morning. And it is a joy. It is a responsibility, but is a joy. Because I see that God has created each and every one of you just as He has created me. And so when we understand that, we begin to see then our words of what represent our faith might change a little bit. So maybe in a couple of weeks, as God is working in your life and as you are allowing God to work in your life and as you are embracing those responsibilities that God has placed you in with joy, maybe your one word of definition of faith would change. I would hope it would in one sense, because it means that you have been growing in the Lord. It means that you have been maturing in the Lord. It means that you have an understanding of your relationship that is more in depth than it was before. That perhaps when your troubled soul goes to bed at night and you review the day and you review all of the things that you have done wrong, you'll see the things more that you have done right, because you have taken that responsibility that God has given you. You have exercised it to the best of your ability and with God's strength, and you find it to be joy, even though at times it can be very tiring and very exhausting. It's the kind of tiring, it's the kind of exhaustion that you enjoy having, because you know it has been worthwhile. You know it has been for purpose. You know that you have edified God in all that you have done. And you know that you have done the right thing for others. And because you have done that, you've also done the right thing for yourself. So it is me and you, each and every day, as we walk with God, because God has created everything. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And yes, that was my word for faith. But communion is just more than just us sharing the host, drinking the grape juice together that we have. Communion is something that is never-ending in our lives. Communion that we have with each other in all things. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, We are so thankful that you've reminded us that you have created everything and that you have given us that responsibility of that everything. And God, forgive us when we have used a variety of excuses and justifications to do things that we knew were wrong. But yet your Spirit reminds us in a loving way that those things that we've done wrong and acknowledge them as such, we see things differently through your forgiveness and through your grace for one another. And God, I just thank you that we've had this time together to look at everything in our lives and to praise you for it all. In Christ's name, amen. I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 458, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross."
Free to all of him.
Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us how important we are to you and how all of us are so important to each other. God, give us the strength that we need to have to embrace the responsibilities that you've given us with the joy that you want us to have in all things. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.